overview of the chapter. There's maybe like a little outline in cases of chapters 33 and 34 tonight. Just how I kind of wrote them down in my notes. If you wanted to go and look into them more on your own, you would have a little bit of an outline of each section. But we're going to start off with chapter 33. And we won't read the whole chapter, but we'll read the first 11 verses. So chapter 33, and we'll start in verse 1, Ezekiel 33, 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, blows the trumpet and warns the people. And whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his dead, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, Thus you say, If our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how then can we live? Say to them, As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. For that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn from your evil ways, so why should you die, O house of Israel? Chapter 33 is markedly similar to two chapters that we've looked at before early in Ezekiel, chapters 3 and chapter 18. Kind of the repetition of the entire chapter in chapter 33 is no doubt for this repeated emphasis, kind of striking home the point that the Lord is making here. I would also say it is erroneous or wrong to see here conditions of grace which prevail today. The setting of this passage is still the age of law. And one portion of the chapter, chapter 33, describes human responsibility towards God's law. And then kind of the second section of the chapter describes the necessity for repentance, and that's really kind of brought forward in verses 16 and 21. This prophecy here, this passage, is kind of a preface to the prophecies of comfort and salvation, which will follow in the later chapters here of Ezekiel. One interesting thing to note is in this entire section, chapters 33 to 39, we only get one date. We get a ton of dates early on in the book of Ezekiel, and there was a whole timeline to figure out when all these different things were happening. So chapters 33 to 39, we get one date. And it is in here in chapter 33 in verse 21, and that date is the fall of Jerusalem in escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. That is the one date that we have to mark when these chapters are occurring in relation to the rest of the book. But again, this marks a turning point in Ezekiel's ministry. He had anticipated and waited for the fulfillment of his prophecies earlier in the book for at this point about 7 years. And so now we really start to see Ezekiel kind of refocusing or recommissioning his prophetic task. While he had been silent to the people of Israel while he uttered the prophecies that we saw in the previous section, chapters 25 to 32, he is now refocusing to the nation of Israel once again. So chapter 33, I'll give you the outline for it. I broke it down into six sections. So the first section is in verses 1 through 6. It talks about the duty of the watchman. In verses 7 and 9, it talks about the function of the watchman. Verses 10 through 20 deal with the responsibility of the hearer. Verses 21 and 22, we see the fall of Jerusalem being announced. Verses 23 through 29 is a prophecy against the remnant that is in Judah. And then in verses 30 to 33, we see a rebuke of the exile. So kind of the thing that I think we should take away from this chapter is that we are all to be watchmen. Ever since Cain asked the question, asked the Lord whether he was his brother's keeper, the unsaved, the unbeliever, have been strangely isn't the right word, but they've been strangely unconcerned, or largely unconcerned with the greatest need of the human heart. But this attitude should never characterize the child of God, who is always to consider it his primary concern that the spiritual needs of others be met. I think now more than ever we can safely say that time is short. The need is probably more apparent than ever. And the need has never been greater for people to be saved, for us to be watching and to spread the news of the gospel. So that's chapter 33. Chapter 34 deals with the wicked shepherds and God's shepherd. From this chapter on, from chapter 34 onward, Ezekiel's prophecies are mainly consolatory to Israel, telling of God's grace toward his people and his faithfulness to his covenant promises. Before the destruction of Jerusalem, the prophet Ezekiel, as did Jeremiah, dwelt on messages of judgment. Once the judgment had fallen, the prophecies now begin to center about promises of blessing. And you can kind of look at chapter 34 as an elaboration of what Jeremiah talked about in Jeremiah 23 in the first 8 verses or so. four sections. Verses 1 through 10, we'll talk about the wicked shepherds of Israel. Verses 11 through 16, we'll talk about the Lord, their future shepherd. Verses 17 through 22, we'll talk about God's judgment between the sheep. And then verses 23 through 31, we'll talk about God's shepherd, the Messiah. And there are some interesting comparisons and contrasts you can make between the first and the fourth section, the wicked shepherds of Israel, and God's shepherd, the Messiah. The inner two sections, the Lord, the future shepherd, and God's judgment between the sheep. Some interesting verses for them. The picture of the sheep, which Ezekiel portrayed on the physical side, gives some idea of the condition of Israel on the spiritual plane. Sheep are quick to go astray, and the lost here have departed from their God and been scattered. An interesting thing is to go through the chapter and read it and see how many times it is stated that the sheep are scattered. Spoiler alert, it's a bunch. But the condition is not hopeless. For the same word informs us that the sheep can be returned to the shepherd of their souls. We read that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. Now we come to chapter 35. Chapter 35 deals with the condemnation of Edom. This, I spent a while trying to come up with an adjective instead of prophecy. And I had a hard time nailing them down, and the best word that I could come up with was threatening prophecy. If you read this chapter and you come up with a better adjective, let me know. But this more or less threatening prophecy is against Edom. Chapter 35. And Israel and Edom have a whole history of enmity. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Obadiah also denounced the nation of Edom as well. And you might be thinking, now wait a minute, John. We looked at the nation of Edom back in chapter 25. When Ezekiel was talking about the prophecies against the nations surrounding Israel. Wow, you're right, we did. But the prophecy from chapter 25, verses 12 through 14, it's very short there, is elaborated on here, and goes much more in depth. But the question you might be asking yourself is, out of all the nations that we looked at, section 25 to 32, why is there this second oracle or second prophecy against the nation of Israel? It has been suggested that in the duration between Ezekiel's ministry in chapter 25 and 32, and now, in chapter 35, that Edom had aggravated its offenses against Israel even more so than it had previous. So they had continued being at enmity with the nation of Israel, and they had kind of stepped up their level of enmity, as it were, if that makes sense. And then you might also be thinking, well, okay, like more as a point of contrast to chapter 36 than it is to be taken as an extension of chapter 25 to 32. One of the things to take out of this chapter is that Edom's enmity, although directly against the nation of Israel, is ultimately against the Lord God. Hence the seriousness of its enmity with Israel. You can kind of break chapter 35 down. It's more or less one section, but if you had to break it down further than that, I would break it down into verses, into three sections, verses 1 through 4, which look at the desolation of Mount Seir, verses 5 through 9, which talk about Edom's perpetual enmity to Israel, and then verses 10 through 15, which talk about Edom's covetousness of Israel's land and blasphemy against the Lord. That's kind of the three sections that more or less kind of break down chapter 35. Is inseparably connected with the covenant of Genesis 12 that we see early on in chapter 12. Chapter 12, Genesis 12. I believe it's verses 19. But Edom could not escape the application of the Abrahamic covenant, which explains the strong language and the irrevocable judgment that is being pronounced on Edom here. When a nation gives itself over to perpetual hatred of Israel, then there is no other alternative than perpetual desolation from God. I would say that nation after nation has experienced this in